what Abraham did there and the message that Linda was just singing in song there. God didn't want Isaac. He wanted everything of Abraham. Wonderful. Wonderful job. Thank you, Linda, for that. Last Sunday, we spent a little bit of time talking about and looking back at 2018 to see what God had done, and kind of looking forward into looking forward into 2018, and what we should have been able to see, whether you were looking personally or we're looking from the church itself, we should have been able to see that God has blessed in a tremendous way for each and every person that is here, and especially for us as a church, and that we have a lot to praise God for. And if you look at your life right now and you can't find anything to praise God for, you're not looking in the right places, because you just the fact that you are living in the United States of America is something to praise God for. As we've looked at different countries and different places, and we're talking about Jim and myself, we're talking about going to Israel here in a little while, a year or two, and just the turmoil that is in that place, and in the Middle East and whatnot. So there's so much to thank God for, and if you look at just your own personal life and what God has done, you're here, you're in a climate-controlled building with padded pews and whatnot, and in America, we can't get people to fill the churches, but there are packed places probably today in dirt huts, and people are huddled up on dirt floors just to have the Word of God read to them. And so I'm telling you, God has blessed us in America tremendously. We take much of that for granted. So that really, as you look at just how much we have to praise God for, it brings me to what we're going to be looking at this morning, and it's the seven Hebrew words for praise. All right, seven Hebrew words for praise, and hopefully in looking at these, we will get a deeper understanding of what it means to worship and praise God. If you've been in church any length of time, you have probably heard about how there are several different Greek words for love, all right? And we talk about, that specifically when Jesus is sitting on the shore and he's restoring Peter, and we see the difference between phileo love and agape love there. There's storge, eros, phileo, and agape are the four Greek words for love. However, when you see these words show up in the Bible, in our English translations, you only ever see it that says love, all right? And when you begin to study, what does that mean? And so when we've looked at this before, and I'm sure in other places you've looked at it as well, as Jesus was sitting there on the shore, and he's restoring Peter, and he says, Peter, do you love me? He was asking him, do you love me without condition? Do you love me wholly and completely? And Peter responded back and said, yes, Jesus, I love you. But he responded with a different word, all right? You don't pick that up in your just English translation. And so there are many times in the Bible that you may ought to kind of look a little bit deeper when you're trying to understand the scripture from just a surface level. And this morning, praise is what we're going to be looking at. And in that same way, the psalmist, David, used seven different words just in Psalms, and they're used throughout the Old Testament as well, to describe praise. and I want to look at those this morning after we take a look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 3. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I believe that fact right there is something we ought to be praising God for, right? He's given us Jesus Christ. He's given us a great mercy. He's given us a new birth into a living hope. So you want to look, you say, well, I didn't have anything to praise God for. I've given you several things already this morning that you can praise him for. You can praise him just for that scripture right there. The first Hebrew word I want us to look at this morning is halal. Halal. And I've got the definition in your notes, got the definition up here for you as well, because the definitions of these words to me are what brings the depth out here. Halal is the primary Hebrew root word for praise. Our word, hallelujah, comes from this base word. It means to be clear, to praise, to shine, to boast, show, to rave. You've heard of raves, haven't you? All right. Celebrate, to be clamorously foolish. To be clamorously foolish. Now, what does that look like? Somebody can, I can tell you, Jessica could have probably showed me this if she would get up and do the, you know, the war eagle. She could run around the church and look like clamorously foolish, probably there. Nothing about football, that was just simply about that. But if you're going to be clamorously foolish, you're going to be running around acting crazy, probably, right? Probably getting a little bit Pentecostal in what I'm talking about here. But when you look at all of this, it's talking about to praise God, to celebrate Him. And you may do that in a way that's not necessarily so reserved, okay, when you're praising God. There's a couple of passages of Scripture that I'll give you for each of these. In your notes, not on the screen, but in your notes, I have put the Hebrew word beside in parentheses, okay? So if you don't have any notes, you won't see it. But if the word is in that scripture, then I put it there. So let's look at Psalm 113 and verse 1. It says here, praise the Lord, praise those servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Right there where it says praise, that first one is halal. It says the Lord, praise again, that's halal. O servants of the Lord, praise again, that's halal right there. You see that in Scripture. Your English version right here, what's it say every time? Praise, okay? You don't know it's any different than any other word, and we'll see in a little bit, it's the same thing. You're going to see a lot of verses that say praise, but the Hebrew word of that is different. And Psalm 150 and verse 1 is another example. It says, praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. All right? All of those praises right there are halal. We're to praise the Lord in His sanctuary. We're to praise Him in His mighty heavens. You're to praise the Lord everywhere. Okay? In Psalm 149 and verse 3, it says, let them praise His name with dancing, and make music to Him with tambourine and harp. Wait a minute. Some of us grew up, not me, but some of us grew up saying, dancing, you shall not. Right? Okay? Now, what did they do with this scripture right here? I didn't change it right here. But it says, let them praise His name with dancing and make music to Him with tambourine and harp. That's all over the scripture when you read it. Dancing all over the place in here. And so, you know, if I got to dancing, I may look clamorously foolish up here in doing that. But you can praise the Lord through dancing. Now, let me say this. What some people may have been doing in certain establishments last night on Saturday may not have been praising the Lord. Okay? So there is a difference between the dancing and praising the Lord that this is talking about and the dancing that you may see at the club, and hopefully you're not going to those establishments very regularly unless you're going to be like Billy Graham going there to try to save somebody. Okay? I just want you to understand, yes, in the church, maybe we should have had a standard that you didn't gyrate and all the rest of that kind of stuff and wear skimpy clothes. That's not the type of dancing. If you want to see some of that dancing, you really look at Jewish culture, and we have a piece of this in the play in the very beginning when they dance. But dancing has always been and always will be a method of praising to the Lord. When you get to heaven, I can almost guarantee you that you'll dance, okay? And you think about it. I was dancing last Monday. I'll probably be dancing tomorrow, round about 8 o'clock, 8:30, 8:45, depending on where they are. A lot of colors are represented here, but I didn't want to talk about it a lot, okay? But You go to sporting events or whatever, and something excites you, and you praise it. You may be dancing and just run around and all that kind of stuff. Woo! And Brooke was telling me, sit down. I may be big, but I can't cover up a 55-inch TV, you know, all the way. But anyway, praising God, I think that scripture right there really goes and say, people look and they say, oh my gosh, I can't believe that it's actually biblical that you can dance. It absolutely is. I say, that is a mode of praise that you can give to the Lord. I can tell you there are people dancing in heaven right now before the Lord. Okay. And I give you some other references and other scriptures if you'd like to look at those later on for halal. So halal, that's our primary root word for praise, and it's where we get our word hallelujah from. The second word that we're going to look at today is yada. It is a verb with the root meaning the extended hand. To throw out the hand, therefore to worship with extended hand, to lift the hands. According to the lexicon, the opposite meaning is to bemoan the wringing of the hands. Okay? And so when you look at the word yada, it's not necessarily used throughout the scripture every time. There's not a ton of scriptures that say, hey, they're raising their hands out there. That's what that word means when you look at it across the whole Hebrew language. And so raising the hands, extending the hands in worship, you see people do that every now and again. You may have seen some people. I've seen some people this morning raising their hands. That's okay, Baptist. I grew up a Baptist. I did. In a little bitty church with 22 pews and four people in there. And you didn't raise your hand. The only people that could even speak were the deacons that said, amen, brother. Preach it now. And I'm sitting there scared to death. Don't make a noise, you know, in here. So, but then something happened, though, and I was going to save this to the end, but something happened when I was somewhere in the ballpark of 15, I can't remember, Shirlington Church of the Nazarene split, all right? And we had like 16 of these folks come to Wheeler Heights Baptist Church, where this is my home church, and then infiltrated in some of these Nazarenes were some Pentecostals. And I remember sitting there one time, and the preacher was preaching a song, was saying I couldn't remember. And Sharon Cannon was sitting over there on the other side. I love her to death. She's a wonderful saint of the Lord. And she was over there just raising her hand. I was like, ooh-wee. And then she said, then she would speak, and say things, you know, out there to the Lord. And Brooke and I were singing one time. can you imagine? We were singing a Cast and Crown song called "Who Am I," and not the older version, a newer version of "Who Am I." And I sang the first verse, and Brooke was supposed to sing the second verse. And Sharon loved to always say, "Preach it, brother," and say she would do those things that, you know, really only the deacons did. But Brooke kind of clammed up. And she got nervous and starting out, and I'm standing there like, what should I be doing? And Sharon, bless her heart, she said, bless her father, like that. And Brooke just ran off the stage and went back there to my office. So, that's probably why they trained us, don't say nothing in the church, you may offend somebody. But when you look at this word, though, when you look at this, you die, all right? In 2 Chronicles 20, and the really the end part of this verse, so 2 Chronicles 20, verse 21, but the latter part of it, it says, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Okay? That word right there, thanks, as the NIV says it, in King James and others, it may say praise right there, give praise, thanks, same difference for this. That is yada right there, give thanks to the Lord. In Psalm 63 and verse 4, it says, I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. Okay. In this verse, Yadah is not in that verse, but this is the spirit. That's actually another word we'll talk about in a minute. But the spirit of what they're talking about with Yadah is lifting up your hands in praise to the Lord. All right. And Psalm 107 in verse 15, it says, let them give thanks, that's Yadah, to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Isn't that something to give praise to God for? Now, would you imagine when you look at this, give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love, that that's something you could raise your hands and praise him for right there. The deeds that he's done for us is something that you may raise your hands, you may shout, you may sing to him. The third word I want to look at is taldah. Taldah comes from the same principal root word as yadah, but it is used more specifically. Taldah literally means, now I want you to get this because I love this. This is just wonderful stuff here to me. Taldah literally means an extension of the hand in adoration or avowal or acceptance. When you look at the application of this word, it is apparent that it's talking about receiving something that you do not yet have. All right? And it says here, it is apparent in the Psalms and elsewhere that it is used for thanking God for things not yet received as well as things already in hand. All right? And so can you imagine as you are standing there and you're praising God and you're thanking God, that's something that you can do for 2018 because it's not a reality fully yet and all of those things. And you're praising God for something you do not have yet. That's a wonderful principle when you look at that. When you look at the scriptures here in Psalm 50 and verse 14, it says, sacrifice thank offerings to God. Fulfill your vows to the Most High. And in going down several verses in verse 23, it says, he who sacrifices thank offerings honors me, and he prepares the way so that I may show him the salvation of God. A lot of times when it was talking about a thank offering, it would talk about that in the word taldah there. But you imagine, just as I'm saying, how many people do you see praising God, period, for things that he's already done, which that should be really, really easy. You have it in hand. But what about praising God and thanking God for maybe the healing that you're asking for prayer for? Praising God because you know he's going to do this for you. You don't know that he's going to ask you, that he's going to answer that prayer specifically like you told him to, but you know that Romans 8:28 says, for all things work for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Now, that may not comfort you in the very midst of some tragic thing because you're like, how can this be good? But folks, hindsight's always 20/20 with that verse. You can every time see anything bad that happened to you, you can see that it worked out for your good. Every single time. Some horrible things have happened in people's lives, and they see those things work out for the good. So with that knowledge, sometimes you may need to stand up and you're praying to God and you want to praise him, and you say, God, I thank you for all of these things that you've done for me already, but I want to thank you today for those things I have yet to receive. And you say that with hands raised in the air. Other references for that verse as well. Number four, Shabbat. Man, oh man, this is getting to my story from the Baptist church. It means to shout, to address in a loud tone, to command, to triumph. I may have been doing a little shouting last Monday. I may be doing a little shouting tomorrow. I may do a little shouting in church today. Okay? When you look at that, to Shabbat, and I want to look in Psalm 47, and in verse 1, this is kind of giving you the spirit of this as well. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. You know, can we praise God by clapping sometimes? Can we praise God by shouting and having an elevated voice tone? I mean, you know, have you ever seen somebody get real riled up at any kind of sporting event going? They wasn't really excited about it. You know, if they were, and, you know, even when your child, and I mean, I'm not just picking on sports, even when your child, and they do something wonderful, they're on stage, and they sing, and it was horrible, but, you know, you're going to praise them for it anyway. And you get up, and you go, "Woo, my baby! That's my baby!" You know that that parent really did think it was bad when they go, "Can we raise our voice in praise?" Do you have to scream? But you ought to be able to shout your praise to the Lord. You ought to be able to clap your hands to it. And in Psalm 145 and verse 4, it says, "One generation will commend, will Shabbat, your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts." You know, when you think about this, if you're looking at one verse, then they're being the spokesperson for this next generation. One generation is going to be telling the other generation about the mighty acts of God. Do you imagine when people are telling folks about the wonderful things that God has done, that they go up to them and say, "Let me tell you the story about how God parted the Red Sea. Let me tell you the story about how he sent his one and only son and was the sacrificial lamb for the entire world." Probably not. You probably, if that excites you, maybe that doesn't excite you, though, but it excites me to know that I have a God that never should have come down here in the first place, because we are so undeserving of every single thing he's done for us, yet he did that. And when I'm telling somebody about it, unless I'm at a funeral sitting there and the preacher's preaching, I'm probably going to be saying that a little bit passionately, because I think God ought to have some praise about that, and we can praise him for what he's done without, and do that in a way that is respectful, obviously, but we do not have to be silent. Isaiah 12 and verse 6 gives you the spirit of this. The word is not in here, but it says, "Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you." Okay? When you look at that, you would have said that they were probably employing a little bit of Shabbat when they were doing that. The number five is not the former president. It is Barak, which means to kneel down, to bless God as an act of adoration or salute. Woo, glory. And Psalm 95 and verse 6 says, "Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel," that's Barak, "before the Lord, our Maker." Sometimes you may be praising him standing up with your hands in the air, and sometimes you may be praising him flat on your face, kneeling down. I imagine whenever we think that we're going to go, and we're going to be so excited, people say, and we're going to go to heaven, and we're going to get to heaven, we're going to run up there to God, and we're going, "Oh, we just love you, and we're going to ask you all those questions." No. Mm-mm. Peter, James, John, Mount of Transfiguration, he peeled back the veil. They stood there with hands in the air. No. Boom. Threw them back. When you get into the presence of the Shekinah glory of God, you may learn how to stand in that presence after a while, but you are going to, can you imagine when you walk up to Jesus the first time, and you still see the nail wounds in his hands, and you fall on your knees and praise to him, praising him who is higher than you by humbling yourself down to the ground. I love that. And Psalm 145, verse 4, excuse me, I just read that one. I'm looking at Barak. In 1 Chronicles 29, 20, it says, "Then David said to the whole assembly, 'Praise,'" which is Barak, "'the Lord your God.' So they all praised the Lord, the God of their fathers. They bowed low and fell prostrate before the Lord and the king." So you're seeing a depth of this praise, right? You're seeing that you're standing up, maybe shouting at one point, maybe raising your hands at another point. You're also seeing that you can be solemn sometimes, that you can kneel and you can be reverent to the Lord as you are praising him. But every single one of these is an outward expression. It is an action that you may be doing. When you go and you look at Psalm 34 and verse 1, it says, "I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips." As you praise God, as you Barak the Lord. Zamar It means to pluck the strings of an instrument, to sing, to praise a musical word, which is largely involved with joyful expression of music with musical instruments. Remember those times in the church, too? They said, well, you don't have any of them horrible stringed instruments now. Not in church. Piano, which is a stringed instrument, is hitting strings with a hammer down there, but that was acceptable. But this word right here is talking about this action that we do. This probably, zamar, is probably the only concept that most people have of praise in the church, because we think praise is just singing. Praise is so much more than you just singing, but it is an aspect of that. In Psalm 21, verse 13, it says, be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will sing and praise your might. And as me and Linda were talking up here before she got to sing, typically when you sing, you don't sing solo, people can't hear you. You sing in a way that people can. And so, you know, you put both Shabak and Zamar together there, and you may sing loudly to the Lord. And 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 9 says, sing to him, sing praise to him. I tell of all his wonderful acts. In Psalm 57, 8 through 9, it says, awake my soul, awake harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. We do this a lot in church, and people say, well, I praise the Lord today. But if you praise the Lord just by singing words, you may not have praised the Lord. Okay? You can praise the Lord through, as Linda was singing that song today, not because of Linda singing and that got you excited so you clapped, but you praise God through that song because he made a way for Abraham, and that he allowed Abraham to be the man of faith. You know, you praise God for what he's done. You praise God for the things he's done for you, and you can do that in song. When I'm standing up here, I can care less what genre of Christian music it is, whether it is an old hymn that has the these and the thous in it, or whether it is something that is just brand new and it's got electric guitars and drums in there. I'm looking for those words that I can identify with, where I can speak those words back to the Lord, not to sing them for you, but to sing them to him and praise him in that way, so that he knows that I am so thankful for those things he's done. That's zamar. Okay. The last one, it's tehillah. It's derived from the word halal and means the singing of halals. This to sing or to loud. Perceived to involve music, especially singing hymns of the spirit of praise. So you've got zamar and you've got tehillah that are coming around as you're singing these praises to the Lord here. And in Psalm 22 and verse 3, it says, yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. You are the tehillah of Israel. And that's Psalm 22:3, which is not right there. You got 23:3 right there on the screen. Psalm 22:3. Isaiah 61:3, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. When you look at all of these seven words, you have got, as I said before, you've got where you are just praising God when you're saying your hallelujahs. You have when you are raising your hands. You have raising your hands in thanksgiving for things that you have, raising your hands in thanksgiving for things that you may not have, where you're shouting praises to the Lord, where you're bowing down before the Lord and kneeling down before him, where you're singing praises to God, and you're singing hymns of praise, you're singing hallelujahs and halals to him. When you look at those seven words and what those definitions and what the context of those words bring to praise, I ask this question in your notes. Looking at these seven words of praise, do their definitions describe how you praise and worship God Almighty? You just think about it. I'm going to be real honest with you about what I'm about to say. It is very difficult, and I mean to say it's impossible, but I'm not going to go there. It's very difficult for you to praise God like this all the time. And I'm not talking about in church. I'm just talking about in life. I don't know how you do this. How do you praise God and you just, this is your posture and this is the way that you do it? I never read one verse in there that was a verse of inaction, a word, excuse me, that meant inaction. When you praise God, you're going to do so with action. When you worship God, when the Holy Spirit moves on you, you may not be and have to act foolish like some Pentecostal churches do, which that is not praise. They're wanting attention for themselves. But when you praise God, I mean, running up and down this front pew, right, and hooting and hollering and turning flips, that is not what I consider praising God. That may be a way that they want to do it, fine, okay? That's just not my cup of tea. I think that's more about you than it is about anybody else. I can praise God, but I'm telling you, when you feel the power of the Holy Spirit come upon you, whether that's through a song or whether you're just thinking about these scriptures and thinking about what God has done, you are going to weep. You're going to raise your hands. You're going to sing. You're going to run and dance. You're going to kneel. You're going to do something. It cannot, you cannot praise and be emotionless. You can't sit tomorrow and watch at 8 o'clock, Georgia, whip Alabama. I don't know, and I certainly don't pray about that, okay? Figure God really doesn't care who wins that game. But I want you to think about this for a minute, though, y'all. I'm serious. I think this is a very good time to talk about this. There is not a person that really and truly wants to watch these games that will not praise in some outward way whether their team wins. Where Carol, who's committing what I consider a break of ethics, voting for Alabama tomorrow, but that's okay. If she's going to go with Alabama tomorrow when they win, Carol won't be. For Earl and a lot of these big Georgia fans in here and Daryl, I don't care if Daryl was still in the hospital. If Georgia won, they would have had to do another heart procedure on you too, I'm sure. You know, right there. Okay? And so here's, that's exactly what would have happened. But look at this, though. Who is more worthy of that kind of praise? God or the world? Our praise and your actions, something, folks. You got to give him something. It, maybe you sit there. Maybe you're not so much you're going to get up and jump around, but maybe you sit there sometimes and you just praise God and you thank him and you kneel down. I'm telling you, and none of this was simply a matter of just the heart. And you can say, well, I'm praising him in my heart. Sometimes that's probably a scapegoat, you know, when we say things like that. But I'm just not saying it's not possible. But I'm telling you that when you look at what praising is to God, when you get to heaven, you're going to praise him in all of these types of ways, dancing, running, singing, shouting, especially the first 1,000 years we're there, however long it takes us to, you know, whatever. We'll be looking at some of this stuff on Wednesday nights, come and see. But, you know, especially that first day that you're there, it's going to be immense. I don't imagine anybody's going to walk in and go, oh, well, this is mediocre at best. Maybe Trump, if he makes it, he'll do that, you know. It's not as good as Trump Tower, because mine was the greatest and bestest. Only if you had that kind of mentality, you know, maybe. But you and I, when we look at that, you're going to be overjoyed to the point that there's going to be action. And if we don't get that here, how do you expect he's going to? This is our testing time, isn't it? This time we're supposed to be learning. And folks, there's all of this stuff is still here for us to praise him for. I don't think that it's okay to say we're going to wait until he gives us the prize to praise him. I don't think that's okay to worship him in that way. And it's like I said, please get out of your mindset, and I'm just about finished. Please get out of your mindset that singing is praising the Lord, because singing is a method. You can hit the ivories over here. Singing is a mode, is a vehicle that you use to praise and worship the Lord. All right? What we're about to do in just a moment and taking the Lord's Supper, all right, that is something to praise and worship God for what he has done for you and I. I'm going to submit this to you. If you don't figure out this thing about praising and worshiping God, you will find yourself to be lacking this year in blessings of God. You don't praise him and thank him and all that stuff to get a blessing. But I'm telling you, if you are ungrateful and we take everything for granted, why give you anything else? If you hadn't said, thank you, God, thank you for what you've done, and you're just expecting something always more, but I can tell you something. If you will barak, and if you will kneel down before him, and you will humble yourself, and you will praise and honor him, he will overshadow you with blessings and a life more abundant like you've never seen before. That is what he wants from us. Listen, the only reason, don't think too highly of yourself, because I don't know about myself. He does not need us for anything. The only reason you or I were created, you ask yourself, why? He don't need anything. Why did he create Adam and Eve? The only one reason, and I can be dogmatic about this, it's because he wanted praise, honor, and glory. That's all he wants. That's why we're here. Our only function is to bring glory and honor to the Father. That's why we're here. How well are you doing in that function? If you're going to be a better praise person at a football game than you are in church, or you are in your spiritual life, doesn't matter whether you do it in church, in public, or not, maybe at home in your prayer closet praising God, but if you're better for the football game than you are for God, you got a problem. You've got a problem. I can tell you right now, as much as in the past 2.5 years that I have enjoyed watching some football, there is not a time that I can see myself getting more excited about a college football game or a professional football game than I get excited watching the play whenever Mary comes down that aisle. My son, and she says these words, he was my son, but now he's my Savior. I'm telling you something right there. And when Jonathan sings, arise my love, over here, and all of that, and you think about how the grave doesn't have any power anymore, I'm telling you, I'm back there crying and just standing like this here in all my costume and my makeup running down my face, okay? Because it is awesome what God has done for us. And I think he's worthy to be praised. let's go ahead and have a word of prayer as we end and have our ushers come forward.